There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to week one of the bye rounds, the time when those that are actually good coaches have been planning for months and months, and us crappy coaches are just winging it. I reckon I know which section you're in, but go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, mate, you might as well just tune into Disney Plus to the new Falcon and the Winter Soldier program, because, mate, I'm right up there with Falcon, just winging it as we go, you know, as has been my... you know, my want for a few years now, and it probably explains why I've never finished well. I've only had one top 1,000 finish during that time, so that probably says a lot.
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't gone as hard as I have in previous years and planned that far out. About a week ago, I started looking at it and realised I've got troubles in around 12. That's about it. That's about all I've looked at. So I don't know. It'll be interesting how it goes.
That is. We will have a bit of, obviously, buy planning strategy this week, Zana. We'll look at some new DPPs, look at what we're doing for the next week or so as well, and then a question at the end. But as always, Zana, we'll start off with the injuries. And it was, a medium round for injuries, but with one in particular, pretty big one that we'll talk about as well in a second. So started off on Friday night. And, Zana, we spoke last week about whether – bringing in Garcia or Bianco was the right move.
Yes.
Two guys that hadn't played before. Turns out there was one very definitive answer there, because Riley Garcia got injured in the first few minutes of the game and finished on 5.
Yeah.
And Ed Langdon as well for the Demons. He was a very, very, very late out with a concussion and was replaced by Tom Sparrow, who from memory played 89 seconds of game time.
Yeah, right. Why bother?
I know. And the thing is, if they hadn't have done it, then, you know, obviously they're going to take it easy with concussion as it is. But if they hadn't have subbed him off, then if Ed Langdon had a miraculous recovery, he could have actually played this week.
See, that would be interesting, because if it was deemed concussion, but they didn't actually sub him out of the game, I would have thought that the doctor's report would have said concussion, he misses 12 anyway, regardless if somebody comes on or not.
You would think so, Zeno, but let's just say I'm fairly confident there's a few teams not playing above board when it comes to that sort of
true.
Stuff.
True. I get that if he'd had an injury like an ankle or a shoulder or a finger or something, just don't sub him out and then, no one knows. He can do whatever he wants. Yep. But, the concussion thing, I reckon if the report said he was concussed regardless who came on or off, he would have been missing 12 days.
Yeah, no, that's right. And from the other point of view, there is no benefit of putting Tom Sparrow on for 89 seconds of game time.
No, all you can do is hurt him. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to Saturday, Zano. And in a move that shocked absolutely no one, Geelong made not one but two late changes.
Yes.
So we had Hippie Guthrie and Blixavs out, and Nerd Guthrie and Reece Stanley came in.
Yep.
Hopefully Hippie Guthrie is back this week, but you know, we'll wait and see. That could be one of those lovely Geelong ones where he's named as a late out and then misses the next 3 weeks.
Exactly.
They have been known to do that in the past. And then the big one, Zano, in more ways than one. Brody Grundy now, he nearly had his head ripped off in the third and was replaced by Finn McRae on the field. Now, he'll miss at least 2 to 3 weeks. And the concern with this, Zano, I heard in a podcast this week and I'd completely forgot about it. He actually went off to hospital a few years ago with something similar. So there was a bit of concern there. So he was off to hospital as well on Saturday, but was released and all good there. But he will miss 2 to 3 weeks. So you're not looking at him until after the byes. And
a bit after.
Look, yeah, so that could have potentially cost some coaches over 100 points. Just picture this, Sano, and I can guarantee you it's happened. If somebody had tried to loop Jackson McRae as captain, because he had a ripper score on Friday night, and he so you put your captain on his brother Finn, And you also had Grundy. Not only do you lose McRae's double score, you then get double what Finn McRae scored, which from memory was about 19 or 20, and you get a 67 from Grundy. That'd have to hurt, wouldn't it?
It would be insane. I mean, I wonder how many times... I saw a few funny tweets about stuff like that, such as, well, you know, you could have put the C on McRae, but you still get a McRae as your C. You know, how many times do you think you would have put the VC and the C on two brothers? You know, there was a fair few funny little things that went around. So the interesting for me is definitely Grundy, and we'll get to some questions later on that. Now, did I read the report that he'll miss at least 2 to 3 weeks?
Yes. Conservatively 2 to 3 weeks.
Exactly. So that's very important in some thinking coming up, I think. But we'll get to that in a little while, Arch.
Cool. Okay. And continuing on, the Eagles is like the walking wounded at the moment. So Tim Kelly, he hurt his knee in a tackle. It's been confirmed as a medial. So minimum 3 weeks for that one, which is not good for an already depleted Eagles midfield. And Oscar Allen, now he headbutted the ground after flying high for a mark and just about twisted over in two. He didn't come back on after halftime with concussion. So he will miss this week as well. Moving on to Sunday, we had Sam Berry subbed off in the third quarter with a concussion there. Ryan Burton hurt his knee, and in another move that could have hurt a few people, especially if they're still holding him, Miles Bergman came on late in the game there. So his score actually counted, which meant he would have dropped value this week.
Yeah.
And we found out today that Toby Nankervis will be out with for a few weeks at least, the medium term.
Yeah.
Is the phrase that's been used with a PCL strain. So I guess good news if you wanted to, I guess, look at picking up someone like, I don't know, that Callum Coleman-Jones. But he's a bit pricey to pick up, Zano, in salary cap. I don't know what he's like in Dream Team and Supercoach, but I just had a quick look in AFL Fantasy, and he's priced at $368,000. Yeah. So he's just a bit too pricey to have sitting there on a ruck bench.
Yeah, he's not a fantasy. He's definitely an option in the other formats, but not fantasy. So he's close to rookie price or bottom rookie price in the other formats, but I'll come to that in a section in a second. But no, you're not looking at him in AF, that's for sure.
Cool. All right, Zano, your turn. Suspensions for this week.
Yeah, so after possibly the most controversial week in AFL history for the MRP, MRO suspensions, tribunals, second tribunals, this week we got absolutely nothing. So I'm going to get to a bit of that in a segment in a little while because I'm absolutely dumbfounded by one thing there. But yeah, no suspensions, a couple of fines here and there, but, you know, really nothing to worry about, Arch.
Cool. All right, well then, Zano, well, why don't we just go through on Sunday night, AFL Fantasy released the new dual position players for, what were we up to, round 9, I think they do it?
Round 12.
Oh, coming into round 12. That's into round 12. Anyway, they were released on Sunday night. So why don't you take us through a few of the relevant ones and talk us through what you reckon there in regards to those.
Yep, okay. So we've got, what, 6 listed here, Arch, which have some sort of relevance. So I'll read them out first, and then I'll get you to give your thoughts and mine to come off of yours. So so Sam Berry adds forward. Pendles adds forward. Chris Mayne adds defence. Jai Farah adds defence. Sean Higgins adds forward. And Harry Perryman adds defence. So, Arch, what are your sort of thoughts around that?
Yeah, look, if you're a crap coach like me and you're still running with Berry and Farah, obviously Berry's got to go this week through concussion, so he's got to be moved on. But if you've still got Farah, look, that just adds a little bit of flexibility there. Pendles, you couldn't do it, Zano, I don't think. He just hasn't been scoring well. Apparently he's carrying an injury as well. Yeah. So if he does, it's definitely one to keep an eye on for the second half of the season because we find those, let's say, grizzled veterans tend to go quite well towards the second half of the season. So he's definitely one I'm keeping an eye on maybe to finish strongly with because he will be good value in a few weeks' time.
Yep.
What else we got there? Chris Mayne. Now, Zeno, I wish I had the guts to do it. My God. I really do. He's on an absolute tear. So he's averaging 91 for the season and 112 in the last three. And good mate of the podcast, Doss, from what do they call him now? The Pod?
Pod.
He was talking about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, just wishing that you could have the guts to do it. He does play Adelaide and Melbourne before the bye in round 14. Then he has Freo and St Kilda. So his next four games, apart from obviously the Melbourne one, look very, very nice. And he's really got that role across half back. Could you do it, Zeno?
Oh, if you're desperate, yes. And there's plenty of desperate coaches out there. But I personally, no, because I'm sort of actually running seven defenders at the moment that aren't rookies. So I don't need another one. I actually need to dump one this week. So I won't be going there. Depending on what your structures are like, you could look at it. I mean, no one predicted what he was doing in the last 3 weeks, Arch, but could he go straight back to his 40s again?
Look, potentially. I think it's one of those ones where you would pick him up, but I don't think you would expect to keep him for the season. He could be a good pick up for the next 4 weeks or so, 4 or 5 weeks, especially depending on how your buy rounds are structured. If you need a couple for the next 2 weeks, you could look at picking him up if you're heavy at the back end there. But, yeah, I just don't think I could do it.
My biggest concern there is as soon as a team decides they want to shut him down a little bit, it's game over.
But I don't think they will. You know, they've got more concern with guys like Crispin and those sorts of guys there in the back line.
Well, Crispin's been pushing through.
Even Maynard.
Lot, but Maynard's a little bit different. Maybe a Quaynor or someone like that could attract more attention. They're around the same thing. But, you know, you're probably tossing up, you know, stopping the guys like a Maynard or a Quaynor or not so much Bianco yet. There's one other. Noble is the other one I'm thinking of.
Yep.
And at times, I'm sure that they'll decide to go to one of them.
Yep.
So whether it's Maine or the other guys, who knows? But, oh, look, as I said, if you're desperate, do it. If you're not, I'd steer clear.
Yeah, and same sort of goes for Higgins, Zeno. Mm. So he's averaging 80 for the season. He's got a very nice role at the moment, but there's a little bloke called Patrick Dangerfield that's due back soon.
Yes.
So Higgins in his last three has gone 106, which has been fantastic for me in a draft league or two that we've got there.
Yep.
But again, I don't think I could do it. I can't see him being a top six averaging forward by the end of the year, to be honest. And obviously he's got the bye this week, so you wouldn't be doing it this week anyway.
No, that's dead right.
So that's my thoughts there, Zeno. Perryman, so we discussed this a little bit about before we went on air. I don't overly think he is fantasy relevant, but you're reckon to keep an eye on him.
Absolutely. So I tend to agree with Barry and Farrah. They've got to go anyway, so doesn't really make any difference there. Perryman for me is probably Mayne's probably the most salary relevant guy there, let's be honest. But Perryman isn't far behind him. I mean, great if you've got him in draft somewhere, right? That's no doubt. But excluding the couple of games he got injured in this year, he's actually going at 92 for the season. So he's coming off a 69. I haven't done the numbers on him in the chart of value or anything yet because there's no point. But when the time comes, it'd be worth keeping an eye on because he's going to drop a fair bit in price and you know, could be some value in about 5 or 6 weeks' time if you need it.
Yeah, absolutely, Zana. All right, and coming off what you said last week in our, I guess, mini pod that we did about the dearth of rookies at the moment, we could be getting a little bit of an influx because one thing to take into account as well is tomorrow night, we're recording this on Tuesday, so tomorrow night is the mid-season supplemental draft. So we could have, you know, 10 or 12 new rookies there. What they'll be priced at is going to depend on, obviously, if they've played in the last couple of years or not.
Mm.
But we could have some well-needed rookie injections leading into the buys, which will be handy.
So one of the most touted players to come into a side somewhere, Arch, is Nathan Freeman.
Yes.
Now, he hasn't played, I think, in a couple of years now on the AFL system. So he's probably going to be 170,000. Could we have a fifth go at Nathan Freeman as a rookie this year?
Looking at the other options, if he plays this week, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who picks him up and where he goes. I'm desperate for a second rookie this week after Bianco. So I'm really hoping somebody gets a run. But There's a couple of guys there, like he's very close. He could go in the first couple of picks. So, who knows? It's all about his hamstrings, you know? Got to wait and see on that.
Cool. All right, now moving on to buy planning, Zano. So in each of the three formats, it's three trades. Obviously, Supercoach and Dream Team, they still come out of your total season allowance. So make sure you're not splurging there. But AFL Fantasy, again, is a use it or lose it trade, as it is every week. And it's interesting to note that in all three formats this year, the buy players are locked out at the start of the last game of the round.
Yep.
So you can definitely use them for captain loopholes.
Sure can, and that makes life a bit easier.
I was going to say, it's hard to stuff up the loophole this week, Zona.
I was going to say, in saying that, you're going to struggle to have 22 on-field players anyway.
Yeah.
Full stop. So all you do is make sure you put a buy player in. And if you need the loop, you just make sure you select him. It's a really easy way to loop at the moment. So, and there's not really much loop use actually looping off your bench either, because you're going to struggle to, you know, you want 22 guys on the field if you can get it. So,
So what's your strategy for the first round of buys, Anna? Because this is the one that I find the hardest, because as you move through, so the second and third rounds are pretty easy. You trade in guys that have already had their buys so that you're not missing a game. How do you approach the first week of buys?
I tend to, so what I've always done, and I've done it again this year, is I tend to cash up sort of 3 or 4 weeks out and then spend up coming into it. So last week I pretty much spent up, and this week I'll be using the last of the money, but predominantly trying to get rookies in this week. So, you know, I'm looking at Bianco and I'm hoping for somebody else that plays, and not bringing in premium guys. That, unless there's someone I'll mention in my trades in a while, that I think it's the week you have to get him. Outside of that, there's no. I try and go cheap as I can that first round, right?
Yep.
And get a bit of cash up for the second round, and maybe bring in one premium the second round, and then even more cash for the third round, and try and do, you know, a double or triple upgrade.
Yep.
Nice. So that's sort of where I'm positioned at the moment. Whether that works or not's the $1 billion question, but. There's a couple of guys that I was quite keen on getting next week, like Tom Mitchell, who you're now going to have to hold off on because he's going to drop a heap more money. So that can also throw, you know, a little bit of a cat among the pigeons as well.
Absolutely. All right. What you going to do, Gary? Show me the money! Congratulations, you're still my agent. So it's probably a good time, Zano, now talking about that, to talk about your charter value. Yes. You've done a little bit of work on it this week. What have you got for us?
So we'll just run through it all as we normally do. Now, it's very relevant around the buyer's arch, so it may not be as, I guess, purposeful as usual, because, you know, you got to think around the buyers as well. But the most relevant guys to bring in this week are Sidebottom, Merritt and Hunter.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking at a premium, it's those three guys to come in. Sidebottom's definitely got the buy in the last round. I think Merritt and Hunter have it in the second week. So, I mean, Hunter at the moment's now dropped $251,000 for the season. Yep. So, I don't think he's going to get all the way back up to that, but there's massive value there, massive value. So, they're three guys that you really, I think, want to jump on and have a look at. Rookie-wise, look, really you're just going to have to get rid of the guys that aren't playing now, Arch, and try and bring in somebody else. So guys on the bye this week include Bergman, Burgess, Farah, Flynn, Kozitsky, Frederick, Powell, and Reeves. So out of those guys, you could probably hold Flynn, and you probably could hold Reeves if you've got him or you're looking at him.
Yeah, I don't think Reeves has made the money. I'm actually looking to bring him in next week.
Yeah, coming off a concussion or an injury. So that'll be interesting to see how he pulls up. But yeah, he's only made 25 grand at this stage. So
yeah,
averaging
gotcha.
66 with a break even of -2. So he's a bit different again. But all those other guys outside of Flynn, who's still only got a break even of 39, they're gone. It's time to move them on if you've still got a lot of them. So Bergman, Burgess, Farah, Cozzy, Frederick, who never max out. Cozzy and Powell have all well and truly maxed out by now. So it's time to move them on. Supercoach isn't too far off. There is one name at the top of this table, though, Arch, which could be very good for a few people with the Grundy issue, and that's Riley O'Brien.
Oh.
Now, the reason I say that is from a Supercoach point of view, he's actually averaging 91.
Yep.
And he's priced at 91 with a break-even of 48. Dropped 116,500 in Supercoach. So he hasn't been as bad as he has in fantasy scoring, not even close. So he is a genuine option for Grundy.
Yep.
Should you want to go there. And then at some of the normal suspects, Hunter is next in line. Shannon Hearn is probably an option there as well. But, I mean, Hearn's got the issues where he's got old man calves now. The other one's Dusty Martin. If you're going to jump on Dusty, it should have been last week, but you've got one more hit at that. So, yeah, that's sort of it there. And then the rookies are the same scenario, Arch. It's getting rid of guys that, you know, like I just spoke about, that have got the buys. In AF and in Supercoach, the one guy you can sort of, I mean, so in AF, you've got to jump on Bianco this week, right?
Definitely.
That's you know, you really want that. In Supercoach, there's actually nobody on the bubble. So Bianco and Coleman Jones are the two guys that you'd want to look at.
Yep.
However, Reeves is the other one as well, but he's got the bye. So you can wait another week on that. So there's no one super urgent to jump on. In saying that, you might need to go early on them because they're playing other than Reeves. Bianco and Coleman Jones will play. So you might need to, you know, jump on something there anyway to get you through. So, but that's it this week, Arch. It's more around making sure you've got as many guys as you can playing, more so than the cash generation the next few weeks.
Awesome. All right. Now let's get into our good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'll kick it off this week, Zano, and I'm going to have a bit of a brag here.
Yep.
I'm going to give it to Isaac Heaney. Now, we had a bit of debate last week as to whether he was a good selection or not.
Yes.
I was very pro-Isaac Heaney. You were advising against it.
Yep.
And he just goes out and scores 135 against your Blues. So for once, Zano, I was definitely right for 1 week. At least. Now, the other thing we heard this week is, apart from giving away footies to little girls, which was an awesome piece from the Swan social media, is that he is carrying an injury as well. Barely trains, apparently, and he's managed through. So, look, it could be a one-week wonder, but hey, you know, I'll take it this week, Zano.
Hey, don't forget, I think to clarify, we actually ended up landing on he'll be good for 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, because he's got such a soft draw, and then his draw turns to crap. So I think we agreed that he cannot be a long-term prospect for you, but definitely a short-term prospect. Nah, he was great. Mate, he's been passed around our home keeper league more often than Tom Mitchell handballs the ball. So, you know, he's all over the shop. He's currently with Steve, who I've given him to, and he's had a couple of good weeks with it, but you know, he's also likely to crack out a few 40s and miss at some stage. So, yeah, it's look, it would have been nice to have him, but, you know, are you just opening up another problem for later on? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you're good, Zano. What gets your good this week?
So I'm giving it to the Dreamtime game happening at Optus Stadium on Saturday night, Arch.
Yes!
I know.
Yes!
Look, we're never going to get a GF in WA, right? And look, probably rightly so. We know the situation there. But it's not too bad a consolation prize. Now, you know, we talk about, and let's be honest, us in WA, and not so much myself, but definitely the Freo and the Eagle supporters get a bit riled up for the Derby that, you know, not many other people really care about. And that's really the biggest thing that we have to look forward to in WA footy. To have something like this is next level. Absolute next level. So it sold out this afternoon, being Tuesday, I reckon tickets were gone within about 20 minutes, the bulk of them. So it's been really well taken and really well accepted and put aside by the WA government and WA Sporting Association. So I'm really excited for it, Arch, and it's really good to see. It's, you know, one of the blockbusters. I mean, I know we had the grand final last year up at Brisbane, but, you know, we don't count 2020. We've scratched that from history. But to have such a big blockbuster game, you know, whether it's an Anzac Day match or a Queen's Birthday or, you know, Easter or Good Friday or what is it, you know, to have something that big outside of Melbourne at Optus, I think it's brilliant, yep, to be honest, Arch. Absolutely brilliant.
And I think it's a great way to celebrate. Now, I know every state, you know, has great Indigenous players and a great Indigenous footy history.
Yeah.
But for WA, you know, we grew up watching, you know, fantastic Indigenous players. I remember idolising Chris Lewis, all the Freo boys that were there when they first started up. And I do like to see that, as you say, the WA government's got right behind it. And given a very short turnaround, I'm sure it's going to be, you know, they're going to make it a very good spectacle for it. They're doing the long walk.
The long walk they're still going to do, which is great. And, you know, we're even talking about guys before that era, Arch. I mean, you can talk about Polly Farmer and, you know, guys.
Steve Michael, guys like that.
You know, some of the absolute stalwarts from WA football that made it in the VFL days, you know. So, I think it's a real good... from what I've seen so far, it looks like they're doing it really well. I think it's a really nice, gesture and opportunity for the sport in WA and outside of Melbourne, for sure. So
yeah, absolutely. And I know you've got tickets, Zano, and I wish I was able to go as well, but unfortunately, I'll be watching it from home.
Yeah, I got lucky and got tickets, but tell you what, it was a struggle for 15 minutes. I can tell you right now, it was disappearing in front of my eyes, and I had to grab what I could grab in the end. But it'll be good to go, and hopefully it's a good spectacle. And of course, my partner and she's an Essendon supporter, so she's quite excited to get to go to a Dreamtime game. So it'll be good. I think, Arch, it'll be good. All right, Arch. Enough about the good stuff the AFL does. What about some of the bad stuff?
Well, this isn't the AFL, Zano. This is me personally.
Yep.
Once again, I'm going to give it to myself because I absolutely stuffed up the loophole.
Yes.
Not only in AFL fantasy, but Supercoach as well.
Oh.
I must have got mixed up with the colours, you know, the blue and the orange and all that sort of stuff. But luckily what it meant was that I actually had the captain on the Friday night team, not the vice captain.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually still got McRae's score in Supercoach and Gawn's score in AFL fantasy, which, you know, I would have taken anyway. I would have looped them. I just didn't have to worry about it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another one of those Friday afternoons. Make sure you've got everything right, and then by Friday night, you go, crap.
I haven't. Yep, been there, done that many a time. It's the colours sometimes frustrate me. I'd like to see more distinguishing ways to know these things, but something to work on in the GUI on the sites.
All right. So. And you're bad, Zano.
So, Arch, I'm giving this bad. Now, it wasn't a disaster, hence why it's not my ugly, but I'm also giving it to myself this week for my trades. Now, I'm going to rattle off a few things here in my formats, right? So, up first, I traded out Powell and Warner and brought in Ridley and Sidey, right? So, so let's say it was Warner to Sidey. I'm pretty happy with that. It was a did not play, and Sidey nailed 106. So, you know, I'll tick that box. However, the power to Ridley scenario, right? Power scored 64, Ridley scored 54. Power scored more.
Yeah, that hurts.
So, I mean, how do you predict that? And I know it was a miserable wet day in Perth, and Ridley would have had to play a fair bit more lockdown on the Eagles, being they're such a tall forward line. Compared to other teams. But, you know, hopefully, I still think he'll be good for 90s. But, you know, it was just an ugly one there. Now to Supercoach, right? So I traded out Scott, who did not play, to probably Waitman. I think he did some BPP and got rid of him that way. He scored a 53, so it wasn't great, but it was okay. But the one that sort of hurt a little bit, Arch, was I traded out Jordan to Sidebottom. Now, Jordan scored 85 and Supercoach and Sidebottom 94. So that only gained me 9 points.
Yep, for an extra couple of hundred thousand, was it? 150 maybe?
Probably at least. 9 points where, you know, I could have jumped on somebody like a Heaney and made a lot more. So that was a bit frustrating. Now, in Dream Team, my Dream Team's a mess at the moment, Arch, an absolute debacle. I've still got Rowan Marshall on my bench. Just to let you know how much issues I got there.
Good.
Yeah, I've got Flynn and Gawn. Actually, no, I'll come to that. I've got Flynn and Grundy rucking. So guess who survives again is Marshall on my bench. Out is Campbell and Mansell, who both didn't play, which is cool. I brought in Waitman, right, for his 46 there.
Yep.
Which, yeah, again, it's pretty poor, to be honest. You're not happy with that. But the worst one I brought in there, I talked about this last week, I was desperate, so I brought in Michael Walters. Now, he had a 63, Arch.
Yep.
Here's the kicker. He was on 67 at three-quarter time.
Oh, dear. Ouch.
Had a minus four in the last quarter. Now, 67 is tracking to a sort of, say, 85, 90, around there,
yep.
Which you'd be happy with as a forward. You'd tick that box every day of the week. Had a minus four last quarter. Couldn't believe it. So, yeah, definitely not very happy with that. But it doesn't even end there, Arch. It keeps going into my draft. A couple of my draft leagues, well, one in particular. Our home keeper league, okay? I noticed that right before the Friday game, somebody dropped Walters to the waivers, which surprised me. And I noticed that, and I had number two in the RFA, the restricted free agent spots, and the guy that dropped him had the number one spot. So I thought, I'll jump on Walters. You know, it's forwards are hard to come by. You can't knock that. Knowing that if I jumped on him Friday night, I'd have him for Sunday games when he plays on Sunday. Beautiful. So I did that. I used my number two restricted free agent spot to get Walters in. I dumped Pau Pepper to get him in, Arch, who I picked up off the waivers a week or two ago because I was desperate. So Walters had 63, Pau Pepper had 93.
Yeah.
So I lost 30 points and my number two restricted free agent spot. So that just sums up my week in trading and drafting and picking up off the waivers, Arch. It was pretty awful, and I don't want to trade anymore. It hurts. It goes the wrong way for me. You're supposed to get better when you trade, not worse.
I did see one of those teams out there. You know how they do it about this time each year?
Yes.
If you had have started with this team and hadn't made a trade at all, you'd be number one in the competition.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I saw one of those today for Supercoach, and it just... Yeah, it just makes you angry, doesn't it?
It does. And the worst thing is you look at it and go, well, I probably had three quarters of that and trade half of them out. You know?
Yep.
It's just, yeah, it's frustrating. So it has to go to me this week, Arch, the bad on a few of those trades, especially there. But that home keeper league one, that one hurt, Arch. That one really digs deep in the heart and the veins there. And Power Pepper was on like 75 at half time. I'm just sitting there shaking my head, just going, oh my God. But. At least he slowed up in the last two quarters. All right, Arch, let's get to your ugly.
So my ugly, I don't know if you saw much of it, Zano. I think I turned it on at about just after half time, I think.
Yep.
It was the goal kicking in the Collingwood Geelong game.
Mm.
So through to three-quarter time, Collingwood had kicked one goal 11 and Geelong had kicked 5 goals 11.
Yes.
So for those like me that failed maths, I'll add it up for you. That's 6 goals 22
yes.
combined. Combined, Zano.
Yep.
And I've got no idea why. Could it be the crowd? I mean, they were playing at the MCG. It didn't look like it was a horrible day there. Is it, I don't know, do 50,000 people make the ball move different? The air flows different? Surely they train at the MCG when the wind's blowing, when there's no fans in there sometimes. So,
yeah,
I don't know. So they finished on 14 goals 28 as a combined score at the end of the last quarter. So it was just, I think Jonathan Brown described it as one of the worst games he's ever had the privilege to watch.
It wasn't good football, full stop. The game itself was atrocious. I mean, Collingwood should have been up at halftime. They were playing better football, yet Geelong had 5 goals 11 and were winning. You know, that just sort of sums up the sort of game that it was. It was... I didn't see all of it. I watched it in and out. And from what I saw, it was unwatchable football. So I don't know what the story was there, Barch. But yeah, it was not... It was easily one of the worst games I've seen this year. In parts, at least. Anyway, so.
And let's move right past that one, Zano, and get into your ugly.
Right, Arch. Now, I mentioned this a little earlier. I've got a bit of a gripe with the tribunal or the MRP. Okay.
Shocker.
Now we could talk about this for 4 hours, Arch, and still get nowhere, right? But I am absolutely. I don't know if you saw it. I'm sure you would have. Absolutely bemused on how Buddy gets off for that bump on Nick Newman on the weekend.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. I'm madly Googling now, so you keep talking I'll see if I can find video footage of it.
Quite blatantly, there was a free kick given. Newman was over the ball picking it up in a little bit of a pack, and Buddy just came through and crunched him in the head. So,
right.
Okay, so you have a look at that and we'll go up in a second. The thing is, I have a bit of an idea on how we can fix this, because We all know, and it's been made abundantly clear, that it's about the result or about the outcome, not about the intent. Okay, Arch?
Yep.
But it's clearly not working, because the potential for Buddy to hurt in that situation was huge. Massive. So here's what I want to see. I want to see two tables for the MRP to work with, right? One for the intent, one for the outcome. Okay? So very similar to what we see now, okay? There's a table there, there's a ruling as to how many weeks you get for the intent to hurt based on your actions, you know, or the possibility of injury based on your actions. Okay? That relates to that'll relate to a time frame, you know? Maybe it was just a swinging arm while someone was trying to tackle you, it's a fine. Maybe it's something like what Buddy did, which I thought was huge chance to really injure somebody, might be 2 weeks, right? Just like we sort of see now. Then you move on to the second table, which gives you a complete separate look at the outcome. So if you've really hurt somebody or concussed them or whatever it might be, then you might get another 2 weeks because of the incident. If you've missed them, then you might only get a fine. So take the Buddy one into example, okay? His bump, his intent to hurt or his potential to hurt somebody, let's say he gets 2 weeks for that, right? That doesn't change now, whatever happens. He's got his 2 weeks. Then, as he did, he sort of missed Newman and didn't quite get him, so Newman sort of bounced up and had his kick. So, you know, let's just say that's a bit of a fine. Say he got Newman and concussed him and almost knocked him out. Maybe that's 2 weeks. So therefore, he gets 4 weeks, if that makes sense. So it gives you the ability to look at both sides of it, not just one side of it. So what do you reckon, Arch? Do you think that I've just fixed the MRP or not?
So let me get this straight, Zano. Yes. You want to give the MRP, a company or a person that cannot deal with one table correctly, you want to give them a second table that they have to adjudicate and come up with an answer for that one.
So it's the AFL, Arch, and crazier things have happened. I know what you're saying, right? In seriousness, I think the problem is that there's only one table because it's no grey in it. It's black and white, right?
Yep.
At least this way, I don't blame Christian, to be honest, for most of the rulings that he gives because he hasn't got a choice, you know? That's what he's told to do. That's how he's told to interpret it. And he's got a table of, 12 options in front of him to choose from.
Yep.
In a game. So he's got a very black and white table. I know it's in colour, but you get the idea. In the greyest game ever known to man, right? It ain't working. You've got to give some sort of more flexibility to be able to work around some of those sorts of things. And, don't get me wrong. If I was to go all the way through and fix the system, I'd scrap the MRP altogether and we'd just go back to tribunals. Like they did for over 100 years successfully. So,
successfully, there's a reason they bought in the MRP, Zano.
Oh, well, yeah, because they're lazy and wanted more money. So that's a whole different story. But yeah, I don't know, Arch. I just think that they need to find a way to be able to penalise the potential to hurt as much as the actual outcome of hurting somebody. That's all.
So I did find the footage, Zano. Yep. I had a bit of a look. I get what you're saying there, but the fact that Newman got up and took his kick, that is the biggest win for Buddy that he could get. If he was out or if he got knocked out, obviously he's done for probably 2 weeks. But the fact that he got up and took his kick showed that it wasn't a hard hit. So I could see, to be honest, I could see Buddy getting 1 week or I could see him getting off. I can actually see both sides of that. The thing that gets me is Buddy goes past the ball.
Yes.
Like he wasn't actually trying to pick the ball up. He wasn't turning his body to protect the ball or anything like that. That's the thing that does it for me. And let's face it, it's just pure dumb luck that he didn't knock him out.
Exactly,
and that's the thing that gets me with the MRO and the suspension, Zano, is that it just comes down to pure luck. I mean, I still go back to that Nick Nat one from a couple of years ago when he got suspended for a week because the guy he tackled was little.
Yes, Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And that's what I think I'm trying to sort of to bring up, is give the MRP, as you sort of said, we know that it's relying on the outcome, right? And yep. as you said, if Nick Newman got hurt there, Buddy would have gone for 2 or 3, right?
Yep.
Simple. Simple as that. We know that would have happened. Because he didn't hurt him, or he missed him, for whatever reason, or got really, really lucky that, you know, Newman hit the soft part of his arm and not the top of his shoulder, you know, whatever it might have been, that it's insufficient impact or
yep, low, you know, impact.
Low
yeah.
impact, or whatever they call it, so he got off. You add that sort of, I mean, whether you use it a table or it doesn't really matter. But if you bring in something that gives the a chance to rule on the potential to hurt and suspend or at least consider that in the findings, that should start to fix some of those things up as well, I believe, anyway.
I know we're going long here, Zana, but I just want to throw one more thing in. I get where you're going, but does a push in the back not have the potential to hurt? If you push somebody in the back and they walk into somebody's knee, then that's the potential to hurt. If you bump them legally and they fall over and hit the ground the wrong way, everything that you do on the AFL ground has a potential to hurt. That would be my only concern with that.
But reportable offences are only things outside the laws of the game. So
pushing the back is outside the laws of the game?
Not in under reportable offences. A push in the back isn't a reportable offence. Right, it's a free kick, but it's not a reportable offence. Bumping somebody high over the ball is a reportable offence. It's charging. So there's in the rules, there's a list of reportable offences, right? That's what the whole argument was about the Plowman case, was they believed that he was spoiling the ball and it was part of a marking contest, so therefore it wasn't reportable. Because it's not listed as a reportable offence, right? They deemed that he wasn't trying to spoil and he chose to bump, which then becomes charging. Yep. Or what do they call it these days? Rough conduct, right?
Yep.
So, you know, a push in the back's a free kick, but it's not reportable. Now, don't get me wrong, if somebody overly pushes somebody in the back, we could think about the old, I don't want to rag them too long, the old, was it the Gary Ablett pushing, was it Stephen May? Or who did he push into Mummy? Was it Duncan?
I don't remember. But
remember, he just set him up on the. He just gave him that little bit of a shove. Just set him up on the runway, and thanks for coming. There's a great video of it actually from one of the Aussie comedians. You know, that could almost be looked at. You know, because the potential. It's about the potential to hurt. And look, I guess if somebody hit someone's knee, that's probably accidental. Trying to go and clean up somebody is deliberate. You know, I think that's the other way to look at it. So there's got to be common sense in it, right? That's the other part of it. But I just want to see him try and fix it so that the potential to hurt is probably the best way to put it. The intent or the potential to hurt, your actions to potentially hurt somebody, has a lot bigger bearing than it currently does.
Fair enough, mate.
Okay, that's my rant for a while. I haven't had a rant for a while, Art. So that's my dummy spit for a while. Maybe that's me looking at the Plowman one, just going, oh, God, this game's going in a strange way at the moment. But hey, it is what it is. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. All right, Arch, after that, we're going to jump into the should I stay or should I go. Now, I think we can rattle through this pretty quickly this week because, let's be honest, we need to trade 22 players and I've only got 3 trades to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, look, mine's pretty straightforward, Zana. So in AFL Fantasy, I've got 16 on the field before trades.
Yes.
17 if, and that's 16 I think I'm fairly confident will actually play.
Yep.
17 if Ronan O'Connor plays, which with Berry out, he is a chance.
Yes.
So Berry obviously has to go with the concussion and then he has a bye coming up. So he's only playing 1 out of the next 3 weeks maximum.
Yes.
So I'll bring in someone cheap. Currently, that's Hugo Ralph-Smith because I'm purely looking for a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I thought he actually did all right on the weekend as well. I liked the way that he played. Yeah. So that could obviously change. And then one of Farah, Bergman or Cozzy down, and that will allow me to go Powell up to a premium. Currently, I'm looking at Crisp, who's having a nice little midfield run there with Collingwood. And then obviously I will move him into the back line when that suits through the buy rounds at some point. Dream Team and Supercoach. So Dream Team, I should actually have 21 on the field there, and I'm down to 12 trades, I know.
Yeah.
So I'm not trading for that one.
Okay.
And in Supercoach, I've got 15 trades there. I've got 21 on the field, but that does include Cam Guthrie. So if he's out, I might look to move him on. But at this point, I'm probably going to look at using my trades towards the second and third buy rounds there. Yep. So that's me for my trades this week. What are you looking at?
So in AF Arch, I'm looking a bit tight. McNeil and Berry might have hurt my plans a little bit there. So I'm going to be tight to get to my 18 players if both those guys miss regardless. So it's going to be interesting there. But at this stage, it's definitely Cozzie, Farah and Jarth out. Now, Bianco comes in, any cheap playing rookie that I can find. And look, it might even be if there is no 170K or 190-ish K guy's name this week, I might even jump on someone like a Brody Kemp from Carlton who is probably 2 to 3 weeks away of getting a run in the seniors, you know? Yep. So somebody who's a high chance to play, maybe even whoever they take first in the mid-round draft, you know? So whoever North Melbourne take are going to play for them. So, there's that. And then, of course, Hunter comes in this week as well, Arch. So, he's the one that I think you've got to jump on. So, I'm just going to have to work through fantasy. Supercoach sitting on 17 trades. Look, I'm sitting pretty this week, but I'm a bit light on for the round 13 bye. So, what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to move Mansell out, who's not playing anyway. He's got the round 13 bye as well. And I'm going to bring Bianco in a week earlier before the bubble there, because then that'll still give me the chance to bring in. Who'd we say?
Reeves or someone like that?
No, Reeves and Coleman Jones from Richmond, gotcha. If need be. So the following week. So, 70 on 17 trades there. So I'm just probably really doing that at this stage because I'm pretty sweet there this week. Dream Team's the only format I have Grundy in. So I think he's just going to... I will wait for team selections to see what happens. But I think he probably has to go. To get me sort of that 18, 19, 20 player mark. I'm not sure who to yet, but we've got a question in a second. I don't think I can hold Grundy. So he's really the only thing I've got to tweak there. I've got 18 trades left in Dream Team at the moment. So I've got a little bit to play with there. It's just time to, I hate moving on someone like Grundy because you're going to need to get him back at some stage as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Limited format games. So we'll get to that in a second with a question. So, but that's really it for me, Arch. It's just a couple of those guys that I think, as I said, I really concentrate on trying to do the rookies coming into round one if I can, because it doesn't hurt you as much when the premiums are available the following few weeks. So, yeah.
Cool. All right, so we will jump into that question. So we've got one from our good mate AJS Hawker. He wants to know, holding Grundy, all things being equal, I'll have 21, 22, and 20 players during the bye round. So he obviously hasn't listened to us all, and he's actually hasn't listened to us at all, I should say.
Yep.
And he's actually planned well for the bye rounds.
Yes, obviously. And I hope that it's 21 with 14 rookies there, AJ. Screw you. It's quite simple, Arch. In fantasy, you're trading Grundy. There's no questions about it, right? He's gone. It's 2 to 3 weeks minimum. And when they say 2 to 3 weeks minimum, they've got no idea, in all honesty, have they? They don't know if it's going to be 1, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. They're guessing at this stage. So he goes, in the limited format games, limited trade formats in Supercoach and Dream Team, if you've got a few trades up your sleeve, you could consider holding him, depending on who else you've got there to be able to play. But like as I sort of said, in Dream Team, I've got 18 trades. I can afford to move him on, so I'm moving him on.
So I think, Zano, the limited format ones are obviously, as you said, they're the ones that, and especially this time of the year with best 18, if there is a time to hold it, normally 2 to 3 weeks in any format, I would say trade.
Yes.
But if there is a time to hold him, it is this time because it's only your best 18 that's counting. So it's effectively a donut that's not counting sort of, even though you could trade him to someone who's playing. But, that would be the only scenario where I would say to hold him, and you're running the risk that it's more than a three-week injury.
If you want to take the punt on it being 3 weeks, you're only going to miss two. You can hold that.
Yep.
Right? For 2 weeks, you can hold. You'd even hold Grundy for 2 weeks normally in limited format games. Just about if you've got Flynn as your backup, as an example, right? Or you might have Who else is there at the moment? A McAvoy somewhere, you know, yep. or something you can throw around. You know, English possibly, something like that. You could hold Grundy for the 2 weeks. Now, if he misses 3 weeks, it's still only 2 games right now because of the buys. Right. So it's definitely possible in the limited trades. In fantasy, he goes. There's no ifs. If you've got him in fantasy, you get rid of him. You try and work out, do you want another premium? Do you just want to get another rookie and a stepping stone? Suck it up for 5 or 6 weeks. Someone like Tim English is coming off a really good score. You can throw him forward. Sean Darcy's another one who's in my forward line at the moment. So, you know, and then look at throwing those guys forward later on if need be. Yep. And then getting Grundy back when he bottoms back out again. So, that's how I'm looking at that, Arch. It's touch and go in the other formats, but fantasy, he gets punted.
Fair enough, mate. Sounds good.
Cool. Well, thanks again, listeners. As always, hit me up at OTLSZano. Keep an eye on things on overlinesports.com.au. Brought to you by Check My House Price. And look, we just, before we went to air tonight, or we started recording, Arch, I should say, noticed that there's rumours and talks about Melbourne going into an extended lockdown or extending the lockdown. So, as we keep saying, everybody, please stay safe out there and, you know, what other big blockbusters are coming up that Perth can pinch? So we'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Maybe we could get the NBA finals, Zano.
Who'd want to go watch? No one's watching that anyway.
Well, true. All right, and you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And as we always say, if you are struggling, especially during this lockdown period, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. There's always somebody there to listen and have a chat with. And please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to. It's all very much appreciated.
Beautiful. Thanks again, everybody. Best of luck navigating the bye rounds. I think with the news we've heard this week, we're going to need all the luck we can get. And look, we'll chat next week and tell everybody how well we did, Arch, for once.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.